Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Samach Vav. We begin on the very last line of Samachei Omid Beis. The Mishnah begins, Hakiteya. Rashi tells us Hakiteya is somebody shenikta'a raglo, somebody who had an amputation of his foot. Now if you see on the side, it says, look in Rashi in Brachos, Daf Nunches Omid Beis, and Dibra Maslu Kota. So it says over there, when the word Kiteya and Chiger are used together, so then the word Kiteya means an arm amputation, but when it's used alone, Kiteya means a foot amputation. So here we're talking about a foot amputation. So a Kiteya, an amputee of his leg, Yotze Bikav Shalot, Divrebeir, is allowed to go out with his wooden foot. Rashi explains, Diminal Didehu, this is his shoe, and therefore, a person is allowed to wear shoes on Shabbos. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. Tomorrow we'll say, is this Rav Meir's opinion or Rav Yossi's opinion? The Girsa that we have is ultimately the Girsa that the Gemara is going to support. So this is the opinion of Rav Meir. He's the Meikel opinion, and the reading is Hakiteya, one who is an amputee, is allowed to go out with such a kav, with such a wooden foot. We turn to the Omid Aleph. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Oser. Why? Rashi says, Delav Tachshitu, because he says it's not a Tachshit, it's not an adornment over here. He doesn't consider it a shoe, and therefore it's a burden, and you're not allowed to carry it out. Even though you're wearing it, he says that's not called wearing it. He then adds, Vim Yeshlo Beis Kibble, if it has over here a Beis Kibble, which means a receptacle, you can put something in it. Now, what would you put in this besides your foot? It specifically is talking about when it has a receptacle to put in kisisin. Rashi says, you so you go and hollow out in this wooden foot, you make a hollowed out area which you can put in these soft cloths over here to make it more comfortable, put the stump of the person into this wooden leg. And the purpose of this is the shin, where the amputation is of the foot, so the shin, the above ankle amputation, let's say, where it's going in, so the foot will go into these comfortable, soft cloths rather than into the hard, wooden, artificial leg. So in this situation, if it has this base kibble for ksisim, Rashi points out, it's not considered a base kibble just to put a shok inside of it. It's to put a shin inside of it, the amputated bottom of the stump, so that's not called a base kibble. You'd have to have a base kibble to put in these cloths over here, these soft material that cushions the stump. So he says, if it has such a base kibble for these ksisim, it's tame. It's capable of being makabel tuma. Rashi says, it's makabel tuma smaga. Although in the Gemara we're going to have a machlokus between Abaye, which is the opinion that it's makabel tumas maga or tumas meis, and it's not makabel tumas medrash, and we'll have Rava's opinion that it is makabel tumas medrash. We'll get to that in the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem. In any event, it then says over here, smucho shalo. What are these smucho shalo? So Rashi says these are various types of soft material, again, that you put against the shin and the knee of the person who has the amputation, because he's using these smuchos over here to lie his knee and his the below the knee part of the leg that's still there, the stump of the leg, on these things to cushion them, because that's how he's getting around. So therefore, the smucho shalo, again, as Rashi says, yesh kiteya b'shtei raglo, we're talking here about a double amputee, so he's walking on his stump. Now, he's not standing on the stump. The stump is bent at the knee, and he's putting his hoe from his knee to the stump, lying parallel to the ground, on these smuchos, so he's ambulating in this fashion. So these smuchos lo are definitely metamin medrus. They're capable of accepting medrus tumah. We've spoken in the past about medrus tumah. Medrus tumah is when a zav or a nida, people like that, have tumah. So anything that they're lying on, they're standing on, they're being supported by, they're leaning on it, etc. So they're becoming an avatumah. So this smuchos over here becomes an avatumah if the person who's the kiteya is a zav, for example. It's capable of accepting tumas medris. The Mishnah continues, says, likewise, v'yotzen ben b'shabbos. You're allowed to go out with him on Shabbos. Why can you go out with these smuchos on Shabbos? So Rashi explains, d'tachshit didehu. This is his adornment, so to say. There's allowability, if you wish, for him to go and use something like this. Now, the nichnasim ben mazaret, it's not considered a shoe. You're not allowed to go into the azara with shoes on. This is not considered a shoe. So this is the status of these smuchos. It's makabel tumas medrus because he's leaning on it, he's being supported by it. He's allowed to go out with it on Shabbos because it's an adornment for him. He needs this. It would be very painful for him to go out without it, and he's not afraid that it's going to be carried down with Amos Rishis Rabbos, so the rabbis didn't have to be goes or anything over here. And it's not considered a shoe, so you can go into the Azara with it. Now, Kisei, the smucho shlo. Now, this is talking about a person, Rashi says, was the kiteya sheyavshu v'kavtsu gidei shokav. This is a person that can't use his legs. They're paralyzed. They're worthless to him. So he gets around by sitting on a low chair, and he says, in this situation, he sits on this low chair, kimin kisei nomuch, v'yoshev alav, he sits on it, gushu mahalech, when he's going about, he basically puts his arms down, and he moves the chair by lifting up, pressing his arms against the ground, and lifting his body, which is attached to this chair, forward. So he's going on these oker gufam in aretz, v'nidchaf lefonav, and he moves using his hands really to propel himself. Then he rests, and he then sits down on the chair again, and then he does the same thing over and over again. So this chair is tied to his back. So we're not concerned about the chair, but these smuchos that are on this chair, they're not tied to it, and they could fall off. So the kisei v'smuchos shelo, the tmein tumas medrash. They're both capable, since he's sitting on them, they're both qualified to accept tumas medrash. Then yotzim ben mishabes, you're not allowed to go out over here with. Rashi says, Rabbeinu Omrim, Mimnei Sheinam Tzrichim Lo Kokach. These smuchos, he doesn't really need them. He could just sit on the chair. The smuchos make it more comfortable. But Rashi doesn't like that pshat. Lo Nihira. He says the reason is, Vikal Memar Da'aydi Detalu Velo Manche A'ara Zimnin De Mishtafa. He says these aren't attached to him and they could fall off and he may come to carry them. Dalad Amas Vishus Arabim. That's why you can't go out with them on Shabbos. That's Rashi's preferred pshat. And you likewise can't go into the Azara with them because this is considered in this situation your shoe, the minhal ninhu, Rashi says, because you're sitting on it, so that's your shoe. Then we go into another category, luktamin. What is this luktamin? These are tahorin. They don't accept tumah. Rashi gives one pshat over here, what these luktamin are, which is the third pshat that the Gemara will give. The Gemara gives three pshatim, and Rashi just gives us over here the third pshat. Rashi Kedarko doesn't always give all the pshatim in the Gemara. We just had, for example, that he said it's only makabel tumas maga. That's the opinion of Bayit, but he doesn't give the opinion of Rava that it's makabel tumas medrash when we were talking before about the smuchos. In any event, so Rashi here only gives one shot, and this says this is some sort of a telemasko, which is the word mask, and they use nasin l'schok u'lahavis tinokos. It's worn by people to go and give pleasure, to give joy, or to scare little kids. So these lukmatin are tahorin. They're not considered a beggar, they're not considered a garment, and therefore they don't accept tumah. However, but it's carrying if you go out with them. You can't go out with them. Gemara starts off and says, Amalei Rav l'Rav Nachman, Rav says to Rav Nachman, Hei Chitnan, what's the right gears of our Mishnah? Was it Kiteya Yotze or Ein Kiteya Yotze? So that's what Rav asks Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman responds, Amalei, Lo Yodana, I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is. Then Rav asks Rav Nachman, Hilchos Amai, how do we paskin? Do we paskin it's Mutter or it's Aser? So he responds, Amalei, Lo Yodana, I don't know. Now, let's figure it out ourselves, Gemara says. Itmar, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Ein Akiteya. Shmuel had the girsa that Rav Meir is the more machmir position. He says the amputee cannot go out with his kav. The chedom of Rav Huna, ein akiteya. And Rav Huna said also, ein akiteya. He had the girsa, not like our Mishnah. Shmuel and Rav Huna had a different girsa than our Mishnah. Amar Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, well, if Rav Shmuel and Rav Huna say this, hold, Amar Shmuel, ein akiteya yotze. Amar Rav Huna, ein akiteya yotze. So then, ananami nisne, ein akiteya. So then we'll change the girsa in the Mishnah and make it that ein akiteya yotze, divri Rav Meir, and Rav Yosef's matin. However, this isn't correct, and we'll see that ultimately both Shmuel and Rav Huna retracted. Maskevlo Rava Bar Shira. Rava Bar Shira asked, wait a second, Lo Shmiel Hu, didn't everybody hear, Ha Demasli Le Rav Chanan Bar Rava Lechia Bar Rav? Didn't everybody hear that Rav Chanan Bar Rava said to Rav's son Chia, and they said this in front of Rav, Kamei de Rav, and we often give specific information over here to show you that this was a real Maisa Shahaya, Bekituna de Be'rav. Rashi explains the Kituna is a Cheder Katan Shal Beis HaMedrash. So in Rav's study in the Beis HaMedrash, this was actually said. That gives it strength that this is a real Maisa Shahaya. And this person said, Ein Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shalo, Divrei Meir. He had the Mishnah, like the Girsa that we just wanted to attribute to Shmuel and Rav Huna, that the Mishnah is Ein Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shalo, Divrei Meir, and Rav Yossi's Matir. And when they said this in front of Rav, and Rav Chanan Bar Rava said this in front of Rav, Umachve Le Rav Epoch. And Rav signaled to them, no, switch it around. It's Hakiteya Yotze, that's Rav Meir's opinion. And Rav Yossi is Oser. So I'm going to say, why did Rav just show Machvele? So some suggest that maybe Rav was davening over here, and therefore, as a result, he wasn't able to go and talk to them, but he was able to signal them. It must have been the time of the davening that he was able to go and signal to them. In any event, Rav clearly says that the girsa like we have it is correct, and that Shmuel and Rav Huna's girsa is incorrect. Okay, so it's a machlokas, Rav against Shmuel and Rav Huna. However, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the way to remember the right girsa is v'simana samach samach. Yossi has a samach in it, Oser has a samach in it, and remember it that way. But in fact, there's no machlokas over here. In fact, Shmuel and Rav Huna both retract. We have Shmuel, Hodor Bey, Shmuel himself went and retracted. Where do we see that? It's none. We have in regards to chalitza. Chalitza must be done with a shoe. Now, chalitza of a sandal, is a sandal considered a shoe? So the Mishnah states over here, it's a Mishnah in Yevamos, if you do chalitza with a sandal, and she'eino shelo, it doesn't belong to you. So that's another factor over here. Or, b'sandal shleitz, or it's a wooden sandal. Or, oshel shmol b'yomin, you take the left shoe and you put it on the person's right foot, and then you take it off in the person's right foot. In all of these situations, there's a hava meaning to say that it's no good. It's not your shoe, it's a wooden shoe. It's not the right shoe, it's the left shoe on the right foot. So the Mishnah clearly states in all of these situations, chalitza kishera. It is a good chalitza. Varmina and Montana, who is the author of this Mishnah? And Amar Shmuel, our Shmuel says, Rav Meir hi. Shmuel quotes our Mishnah with the girsa that we have it, not the girsa that was attributed to him. So therefore, clearly you see that Shmuel retracted, holds like Rav, holds like our girsa in our Mishnah, that Rav Meir is the one that says you can go out, the Kiteh can go out with a kav, and we see that that's because he considers this kav over here to be a footwear, and therefore it's allowed to be gone out, and that's why by chalitza, a wooden shoe is also considered a good chalitza. Shmuel retracted the opinion first attributed to him. He holds now like our girsa, like Rav said. And so too, Rav Huna Hodebei. Rav Huna also retracted his opinion as well to say that the girsa is Rav Meir is the matir and Rav Yossi is the Rav Meir is the oser and Rav Yossi is the matir, and he retracted it to maintain our girsa as well. Rav Huna Hodebei. Where do we see that? A braisa. The Tanya. Sandal shel sayodin. Now, we're going to have a machlokas over here. What exactly the sandal shel sayodin is? Rashi gives first a pshat that it's talking about a wooden sandal made of eitz. However, later on he's going to say it's made out of kash. And that's the his Rebbe's pshat was it was wood. But he says, linira, this is later down in the Rashi, the Ramasa, where Yochan ben Uri Natar, sandal shel sayodin shel kashu. It's made out of these reeds, which are hardened, and they can be like wood, but they're not actually wood. In any event, so this braisa tells us, sandal shel sayodin, why would they wear this? They would wear something to protect their shoes because the sid, the lime, would eat through their shoes. So they would wear this either wood or kash type of shoe on top of their shoe. So this is tumi medrash. It is capable of makabel tumas medrash because the person is leaning on it. He's stepping on it. V'ishu chaletzes bo. And this likewise qualifies as a shoe, even though it's either wood or kash, for doing chalitza. V'yotzim bo b'shabbos, the Rabbi Akiva. And you can wear it on a Shabbos because it's a shoe. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. However, v'lo hodlo, not everybody agreed with him. And we have the Hatanya. Some say the girsa should be on the side. It says it should be the Atnan. It's really a Mishnah over here. In any event, that's the girsa of the Gra. It's a Mishnah in Edios. Hodlo. So the people were molded to Rabbi Akiva. And along comes our Rav Huna. Am Rav Huna, man hodlo. Who's the one that agrees with Rabbi Akiva? So it's Talmud, Rav Meir. Rav Meir agrees with him. In other words, Rav Meir holds that this is a wooden shoe, is a shoe, v'yotzim bo b'shabbos. So therefore, whether it's this kash, this hardened kash, or whether it's actual wood, so you're allowed to go out with it. So you see that Rav Huna says that Rav Meir is the opinion in our Mishnah that is matir. And by the way, uman bahudlo, that's Rav Yossi. Oh, very good. So we see that Rav Huna retracted his position as well. Now, the gears we have is Amar Rav Yosef. On the side, it says Rav Yosef Amar, because when you have Amar Rav Yosef, it means he's commenting on the previous statement. When you have Rav Yosef Amar, it means he's saying a new statement. But others have the girsa. If you look in the Gilyan Hashas, so he brings down that this actually in the Gemara elsewhere is referred to as a statement by Rava. So it should be Rava Amar. Whoever it was, either Rav Yosef Amar or Rava Amar. Man lohud lo, another opinion that didn't agree with Rabbi Akiva, that's the opinion of Yochanan ben Nuri. What did Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say? Ditnan. He said in the following Mishnah, now, the girsa that we have in our Gemara is kaverish shel kash v'shvoferish shel kanim, but both on the side, it brings down that the girsa in the Mishnah in Kalin, as well as the Vilna Gaon over here, brings down that the correct girsa, and Rashi has this as well, that the correct girsa, you can see this in Oz Beis in the Vilna Gaon, is it should be machatzelis hakash, if you have a reed made out of kash, a straw, v'shvosheris hakash, a tube that's made out of kash. Rabbi Akiva says about them, mitame. He says that they are capable of accepting tumma. For Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mitar, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, they're not kalim, and therefore they are tar. So he holds that the kash is not, and Rabbi Akiva holds that it is. So you see again, this is the opinion that wasn't molded to Rabbi Akiva. Fine, that concludes that little segment. But now let's go back. Amar, we'll requote what we just said. Sandal shel sayadim tamei medrash. We said that sandal of the sayadim is capable of kabel tumas medrash because he's stepping on it, he's being supported by it. Where it says halav lehiluchade, but wait a second, that's only for protection. You're not walking with it, so why is it makabel tumas medrash? You're not really being supported by it. You're not walking with it. So Amar Rav Acha bar Rav Hula. So Rav Acha bar Rav Hula says shekein hasayid metayel bo achi meagia leveso. He doesn't take it off as soon as he's done with his lime work. He goes and wears it to his house. So he does wear it, even though right, it's mostly for protection. But since he does wear it at times, so therefore he is allowed to go and wear it to his house. He continues wearing it to his house, and it's makabel tumas medrash as a result. Fine, now we quote the Mishnah, v'imyesh lo beis kibbul kisisin tomei. If the stump over here has a hollowed out area that he can put in the soft mochin, the soft cloths to cushion his stump, so then it is considered a type of utensil, and it's makabel tuma. Now, what type of tuma? So this is what we alluded to before. This is a machlokas. Rashi just said in the Mishnah, tumas maga, like Abaye, but here we're going to say that there's a machlokas Abaye and Rava. So Amar Abaye, tomei tumas meis, vein tomei tumas medrash. It's only makabel tumas meis, tumas maga. However, it's not matame as a medrash. And Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no, af tomei medrash. It's also makabel tumas medrash. Why does each of them say their opinion? So we have Rava first. Amar Rava, mino amina lo, where do I say this makabel tumas medrash? Because it's not. We have a Mishnah Beitza that says, agolo shel kotten, if you have a wagon that a child carries or a child uses. Tumea tumas medrash. It is makabel tumas medrash. Rashi explains over here, this agolo that the kotten uses, little wagon, is a tzachipo, a tiltalula. He plays with it, and sometimes he sits in it. So therefore, it's tumas medrash. Tosus says, in the bottom Tosus, agolo shel kotten, he says, there's no chiddush then. So if the child's sitting in it, so who would ever have him say that it's not? So therefore, Tosu says, Lekach nira li, the hainu agola shosin lekotin lislamed lahalik. It's like a walker for a child. It's like the toddlers when they start to toddle, so they need to hold on to something. So that's what it's talking about, this agola shol a cotton, and therefore this is nishan oleh. Tosu says he's leaning on it, and therefore it's matami tumas medrash. That's the opinion of Rava. So Rava says that this agolosh cotton is tami medrash. Therefore, this stump over here that has the base kesisin, that has the kesisin in it, is also going to be a base kibble, and it's makabel tumas medrash. Abaye disagrees. Abaye Omar, Hasam Somechi Lave. No, with the walker or with the wagon, the child is actually being supported by it. Hachalo Somechi Lave. Here, he's not really being supported by this structure. It's making a little bit more comfortable for him, but he's not really being supported by it. And therefore, Abaye holds that this is not something that he's technically being supported by, or Somechole Ilave, and therefore, it's not Makabel Tumas Medrash. Tumas Maga, it's a kli, so it's Makabel Tumas Maga. Then Abaye says, what is his reasoning? Amar Abaye, mino amina lo, where do I have support that I'm correct? The Tanya, because the Braisa says, Mako Shoskanim, a walking stick that an older person uses, it's tar mikulam. It's totally tar. Now, why is it tar mikulam? It's low medrash, Rashi says. Lo shayar tumah. It's not considered medrash. Lo mitami tumas medrash. Mishum, the lav lismicha of it. He's not leaning on it, it's just to steady him. Every now and then he's a little bit unsteady, so he uses it to go and lean on. And why is it not makabel other type of tumah, tumas maga? Because it's a shtick wood. It's a pshute kliyetz, and pshute kliyetz is not makabel tumah. That's a bayit. No, what does Rava respond to this? Rava, awesome, l'tirutze sugya avida. No, he's using it to support himself. As Rashi says, l'sakim pisuo sub, v'liskov koma, to hold himself up. M'nei shiraglov v'shokov rosesos. He's weak, he's trembling. And therefore, v'lo l'smichas kol gufo, and it's not for his entire guf. That's why it's not makabel tumas medrash. But hacha, in our case with the stump with the kesisin inside of it, lismochi lavihu davida v'sonachle. It's used to support him, and he in fact is supported by it. That's why it's makabel tumas medrash. Then the Mishnah is quoted, tumei in medrash ben yotzim behem b'shabbos. Now the Bach adds over here, what are we talking about? This is the kisei v'smucho shlo. So we said the makabel tumas medrash, but you're not allowed to go out with them on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to go into the Azara. V'inim chnosim el Azara. Tani Tano Kamed Rav Yochanan. One of the Amorayim learned over this brice in front of Rav Yochanan. It says, Nichnasim Behem Le'Azara. You are allowed to go in this with this kisei and with the smuchos into the Azara. So Rav Yochanan responds to him, Amar Le, Ani Shona Isha Choletzis Bo. I say that you're allowed to use this for Chalitza. V'yat Arm is Nichnasim, and you're saying it's not a shoe and you can go into the Azara with it? So the Talmud changed around. Tani, Rabbi Yochanan told him, learn it. Einich nasim el azari. You're not allowed to go in with this kisei and the smuchos into the azari. It's considered like a shoe, and therefore you can't go in there. Then we finally conclude the Mishnah. We say, luktamin tahora. This thing called luktamin is Torah. It's not makabel tumah. It's not considered a kli. My luktamin. What is this? So again, I told you, Rashi in the Mishnah said the third pshat. First, we have the other two pshatim. Amar Yavo, chamra the achba. This is something that Rashi says is a chamor hanis abksefayim. It's like a play donkey that the leitzanim, the jokers, the people that make leitzanis, so they would use something like this. They would put it in between their legs, but it's really hanging from a strap on their shoulders. And therefore, it looks like they're riding on it, but they're really not riding on it. So this is this luktamin. So this is not a kli, and it's certainly not makabel tumas medrash, and you're not allowed to carry it on Shabbos because it's not clothing. You're not wearing it. Now, that's pshat number one. Rava bar papa amar. Others have the girsa. It should be rafim bar papa amar kishirei. It is something called kishirei. Or Rashi has the girsa kishurei. That's also the girsa that Tosu seems to have. What exactly is this? So Rashi says, Shemahalkum hemamokum tit. This is like a stilt or some sort of a wooden platform that you're walking on in a muddy place so you don't get your shoes all dirty. Rashi says, however, kashli nehid the Torah mitumas maga, the pshute kliyetz, you know, avo min ha-medris lo matarin. He says, okay, I understand, it's pshute kliyetz, it's not matami tumas maga, it's not matami tumas meis, but why isn't it matami tumas medris? He's left with the tzorchian. But Tosus explains, he says, the kivin she'enu nesuim elu lelech is derech havor betit. It's not used really on a regular basis, you're only using it on an occasional basis, so it's enu matami tumas medris. That's the answer that Tosus gives to Rashi's kasha. Then Tosus brings down from the Aruch, he says that this is something that the leitzanim also use. These are like stilts that the leitzanim would dance on, and they're not really wearing them. They're using them as a toy of sorts, and therefore, lo lehiluch abi, they're not really using it to walk, and that's why it's not makabel tumah, and that's why it's not considered a clothing, and that's why you can't go out with it on Shabbos. And finally, the third explanation is the one we give in the Mishnah, Rava bar Rav Huna Amar Forme, it's a mask. And this is something that the late Sonim would also use over here. As Rashi says, it's a partsuf, lahavis habonim, it goes, they use it to scare the young children. It's a toy, and that is also not worn, and therefore it's not allowed to be carried out on Shabbos. Next Mishnah. Habanim yotzim b'ksharim. Boys, little children, little boys are allowed to go out with ksharim. The Gemara will explain what these ksharim are. We'll get to that in a moment. And then the Mishnah says, ubnei malachim bezugin. And the children of the kings are allowed to go out. The princes are allowed to go out with these zugin, these bells. They're made out of zohav, and you're allowed to go out with them. But it's not only them. The whole of them. Everybody's really allowed to wear those bells. Why does it say the kings, the princes? Because that's the only people that could afford this. That's the people that routinely worn this. Now, Gemara starts and says, Mike Sharm, what exactly are these Sharm that we were talking about? The banim are allowed to go out with them. So Amar Ada Mari, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Baruch, Amar Rav Ashi Bar Rabin, Amar Rav Yehuda, these kishurei are pua, something called pua. Rashi tells us over here this pua is a certain type of a plant, it's translated as madder, and these are put around the neck of a person for medicinal purposes. And Rashi says, well, yadati lezecholi. I don't know exactly which sickness this is medicinal for, but that's why they would wear this pua around the necks, these kisharim around the necks. Amar Abaye tells us, Abaye was an orphan. His father died shortly after conception. His mother died during childbirth. And he was raised by this aim, this guardian, this woman who took care of him. And he always quotes her throughout the Gemara. Amar Liyayim, my mother, this guardian, told me, Tlasa, if you have three of these puas, three of these matters around your neck, that will help you a lot. Mukme, that will keep you healthy. It's right, it says, Mamid in the Holy Shloyigadal. That will keep you healthy. It won't let your sickness get worse. If you put on five of them, Chamisha, Masu, then it will heal you. Again, Masu means a shrapin, Rashi says, and Asi is a doctor. So Masu, you'll get healed. And if you put on seven of them, Shiva, whoa, that's great. Afilu Lukshofin Mali, that will even help you against witchcraft. Witchcraft is very powerful, but seven of these matters will go and protect you. However, we qualify this. Amar Ravacha Bar Yaakov, Behu, this pua, this matter over here, is only going to work if the lo chazi le shimsha v'sira, if it never saw the light of day or the light of night. In other words, it didn't see the sunlight or it didn't see the moonlight. Again, pretty difficult. V'lo chazi mitra. And likewise, it never saw rain. It wasn't ever exposed to rain. V'lo shmir le kol barzla. And it never heard the banging over here of metal. In other words, this pua had to be someplace that wasn't where any of these things happened for it to work. And it never heard Vakal Tanagalosa. It never heard a rooster that was doing cock-a-doodle-doo. And likewise, v'chal nigre, it never even heard anybody walking. Rashi says that nagre or psio, so you couldn't have even walked around it. If it's going to be effective, it can't have any of these things happen in front of it. So therefore, Amar of Nachum Yitzchak, he says, nafal pusa bebira. So this pusa, now I don't know why they call it pusa over here, it's really this pua that we're talking about. I don't know if it's a mistake over here, but in any event, it's pusa bebira. This fell into the pit. Now it's interesting, in the Magen Avraham, in Shulchan Aruch, he brings down an opinion that says that this pusa was mistakenly translated as Pas Shachris, and that's Mustama, he's guessing where they got it from, because it says all of these things that we just said, Pas Shachris doesn't work. It's very good, healthy to eat Pas Shachris, except if it's sort of light of the sun, light of the moon, etc. So the Magen Avraham suggests that this was mistranslated, this Pusa was mistakenly translated as Pas Shachris. Again, I don't know why it's called Pusa. I would have thought it should be Pu'a, but in any event, he says it's at the bottom of the pit. The only ones that would ever not have had anything like this is at the bottom of a pit. That's one way to understand this. Otherwise, you might as well throw it in the bottom of the pit. You throw it into the garbage because it's not going to work, because whoever has pua that didn't have all of these things happen in front of it. Now, Gemara asks the question, my ear, your bottom. Why do you tell me this dafik works for boys? Okay? I feel about a tsunami. So if you're telling me that it's some sort of a plant around the neck that has medicinal benefits, so why would it only work for boys and not for girls? Furthermore, my ear, katana. Why would it only work for young children? I feel a golden tsunami. It should work for adults still. So therefore, it doesn't like the pshat. So Eloh, the Gemara says, Elamaik Sharm, so what are these Sharm that we spoke about in the Mishnah, that the boys wear out? So he says, Ki hod amar Oven Barhuna, amar Rechama Barguya. It's like what Oven Barhuna said in the name of Rechama Barguya. Bain, Sheyesh lo gagu in aloviv. We're talking here about a boy that has longings for his father. He's missing his father. So the father has to go to work. The kid misses his father. The little boy misses his father. So what do you do to help him remember his father? Nota ritzu miminul shayamin. You take off the father's right shoelace, the koshlo bismolo, and you tie it to the boy's arm on his left arm. And how do you remember which way to do this? Amar Nachman v'simonech tefillin. You remember like tefillin, you put on your left arm. Most people are righties, they put their tefillin on their left arm. So you tie the father's right shoe and you put it on the boy's left arm. Okay, that's how you remember it. However, the chilufa sakanta, if you do it the other way around, you tie it on the boy's right arm, Rashi says that's going to be dangerous. Shemagageya yosimidai. It's actually going to make him yearn for his father even more. So that's not a good thing to do. No, we had one statement over here in the name of Oven Barhuna, in the name of Rechama Barguria, so we have another one. Amar Oven Barhuna, Amar Rechama Barguria, sachufe koso atibure bishaboso shapridomi. You're allowed to do what we call cupping, right? People call this bankis. Right, you find the various sports people do this. There's not a shred of evidence that medicinally this works, but people do this. And they used to do this in those days as well. They would take a glass filled up with hot water, then quickly pour the hot water out and overturn the glass. It would have like a suction and put it on somebody's stomach. And it pulls up, Rashi says, they thought it pulled up the intestines and straightened them out in some way. Okay, we don't understand this medically, like we don't understand almost all of the medicinal recommendations of the Gemara, and that's why we're not allowed to follow them. And these aren't halach l'moshe misinai. These were the standard practices of those days, which obviously are potentially wrong. In any event, he says, you'll have to do this on Shabbos. It's not called refuah. There's no gezeru via shchika sammonim in this situation. So you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Another statement that he made. A person is allowed to go and put on his, as we'll see, his palms and his soles. He's allowed to put on this mixture over here of shemen, oil, and melach, salt. Why would you do this? So the Gemara is going to tell us, because it was a way to get somebody who was mildly drunk to go and clear them. As we see from the following, Kiha, the Rav Huna mide Rav, when Rav Huna learned by Rav, and when Rav learned mide Rav Chia, when he learned by his uncle Rav Chia, and the Rabbi Chia mide Rabbi, and Rav Chia learned by Rabbi, all of them were given wine. Rashi says it was very customary to give them wine, and they would get a little bit drunk. So Kihavu mi basme, when they would get a little bit drunk, Maise Mishcha Milcha, they would bring out this combination of salt and oil, the shayfilahu, legav yoso di yadayhu, they would go and smear it onto their palms, the body of their hands, which is their palms, la yoso de charayu, and on the body of their feet, which is their soles, and they would say the following incantation. This didn't work through normal methods, but it worked through the following incantation. The Amri, they would say, ki hechid etzil ha mishcha, just like this oil is going to eventually evaporate because the warmth of the person's body is going to make it evaporate. So, leitzel chamre de planya bar planisa. So too, should this wine evaporate from this person, so-and-so, the son of Mrs. So-and-so. We always give the mother's name when we're dealing with a Refuah Shleimah. Velo, and if he doesn't have this around, what should he do to get rid of the drunkenness? So Maisei Shia Didana, you go take a barrel, then you take the seal of the barrel, and Vishar Libimaya, you take that seal of the barrel, the clay over there, and you put it in water so it dissolves, and you say, Kihecha Deleitzel Hai Shia, just like this clay over here is now dissolving. Leitzel chamre de planya, the wine from so and so, bar planitza, the son of Mrs. So and so, should also go away. Another statement that he made, you're allowed to go and do, I'll call this traction on Shabbos. You can put somebody in traction. Some say it literally means some sort of a choking them, but it means stretching the neck in some way that the bones will align better. So that's also not refuah, and you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Another statement that he made, you're allowed to go and swaddle a child on Shabbos. They used to have a condition, which is still today, sometimes they have congenital dislocations, and by swaddling the child, you can go and straighten out the bones and relocate them, so to say. So they would do this. So you're allowed to go and wrap this child up, swaddle this child as a medicinal thing. It's not considered medicinal. Now, we just had this Gemara over here where we talked about two situations where we're dealing with banim. The first one was the ksharim, and the second was the swaddling over here. Both of them, we said, were in the name of Ovin Barhuna, in the name of Chama Bar Guria. But Rav Papa Masni banim, Rav Papa learned both of them in his name. Rav Zvid Masni Bain, Rav Zvid only learned one of them in his name. What do we mean? Rav Papa Masni banim, he said both of these situations were Tarvayu Masni Lahu, but Ovin Barhuna. He said both of them were learned out regarding Avin Barhuna was the one that said them. So the case of the ksharim, as well as the case over here of the swaddling. Razvid Masni Bain. Razvid only had the first one, Kamaisa Masni Bavin Barhuna. Only the ksharim was in the name of Avin Barhuna. Bahai, that which you said you're allowed to swaddle, Bahai Masni Lo, he learned it not in the name of Avin Barhuna, but Barabba Barbarchana, who said, the Amar Rabba Barbarchana, Lafufe Yenuka Bishabasa Shapidom, you're allowed to go swaddle this child. So it's only a question of who was the one that said it. They both agree on the din. Now we enter into a whole bunch of unusual Gemaras over here where we talk about various incantations. Not something that we can easily understand, and we'll read them. Amr Abayi says, his mother, again, this woman who was his guardian, she told him, Kol Minyone, whenever you're saying a lachash, whenever you're saying a spell, an incantation, Bishma di'ima, you always say it with, when you're wishing the person to get a refuah shleimah, you say, Yanko, the son of Mrs. So-and-so. The Kol Kitri Bismola. Whenever you're making any sort of knots, so then you put them on the left arm. You always do that on the left arm. So these kisharim that we mentioned before, as we pointed out, they'll be on the left arm. If you put on the right arm, it was Sakanta. Another thing that he said, Omar Abayi, Omar Liyay, my mother told me another thing. Kol Minyone de Mefarshe, Kidim Farshe. Whenever you have to say a lachash, you often say the lachash a number of times. Rashi says that it was customary that they would say them three times. Whatever the lachash was, you had to say it the number of times that the lachash was supposed to be said, because if you don't, it's not going to work. So if it tells you the number, you got to say it three times, so then say it three times. If it didn't tell you the number of times to say the Loma Farshe, Arbayin, the Chad Zimne, then you should say it 41 times. The default is to say it 41 times. Now we have Brisa, Tana Rabbanon, Yotzin b'Evin Tekuma b'Shabbos. A woman is allowed to go out with this Evin Tekuma on Shabbos. Rashi explains the Ramaskal Evin Tekuma. Evin Shinosos Osa Noshim Uboros. Pregnant women would go and wear this. Shalo Yipilu, that they shouldn't miscarry. So it has a certain medicinal benefit to prevent miscarriage. So Gemara says, Mishum Rabbi Meir Amru, Af B'Mishkal Evin Tekuma. It's not only this Evin Tekuma, which was some special stone, but as long as you had the weight of that special stone, if you weighed it exactly, as we'll see, so then you didn't even have to go out with the Evin Tekuma, you go out with the equally good weighing stone. So you could exchange it. If the Evin Tekuma weighed 1 pound, so if you went out with a equally exact 1 pound weight, it would be fine. And not only does it prevent women who've already previously miscarried, even if she may miscarry, it can prevent that from it as well. And not even if she's pregnant, she doesn't even have to be pregnant. A woman's trying to get pregnant, so she also can wear the stone to prevent a miscarriage from occurring. You have to measure it out exactly. If you're using the mishkal of the Evin Tekuma, you better make sure you measure it exactly. And Boy Abayi says, what happens if you measured it out? So you have A, that's the Evin Tekuma, and you measured B exactly. And now you measured B to C. So mishkal de mishkal, might. Would that work? If you wear a seed, will that prevent these miscarriages? Take it. Gemara says, we don't know. Gamabai, another thing that he said, Amaliyah, my mother told me, again, his guardian, for a fever, l'ishasa, fever is called ishasa. Basioma, for a one-day fever, do the following. Lishko zuza chivrotsa, go and take a white zuz. White zuz is a new zuz, Rashi says. It's a newly minted coin. Rashi says in Dibur HaMaskel, Zuzah de Chivra, Tzoruf v'chodesh, a minted coin, it has a tzura on it, and it's brand new. V'leza l'mil chalsa, go and put it into a salt mine. What does that mean? So they would have, let's say, near an ocean. You'd have a channel that would take the ocean water, and you have the ocean water go into a place, then you remove the channel, so now you have a pool of ocean water, and you let it evaporate. The water will evaporate, and you'll be left with salt. So this salt mine over here, you go and take this coin, this white new coin, and you bring it to the salt mine, velisko maskele milcha, and go and weigh out against it a certain amount of this salt, ulitzairi b'chalol de beit savor, benira barka, and go and wear this around your neck, and tie it there with a certain strand of hair, nira the barka. Knew what happens if you don't have access to that? Be low. So then, leisev aparshas drachim, go and stand by the crossroads. V'chichazi shum shimana gamla. When you see a big ant, right, a camel-sized ant, it's an expression. The dari midi, that's carrying something. So lishkele, go and take that ant. V'lishaje begufsa dinchosha, and go put it into a tube made of copper. V'listeme be'avra, and then seal it with lead. And do it with many, many seals. 60 seals. 60 is a term that we use often as an exaggerated term for a lot. 300, 60, other numbers mean a lot. Doesn't literally mean you have to do it with 60. And then shake it up. And then carry it with you. And say this incantation. You're saying, whatever the ant was carrying, I'll take that. And whatever I'm carrying, in other words, this fever, this trouble, this medical illness, it should go upon the ant. Where it says, wait a second, maybe somebody did this already. Again, it sounds unlikely, but maybe somebody else had done this with this ant, and now this ant is carrying this terrible illness, and now you're asking to relieve your illness with this ant's illness. So maybe it's actually not good. So Gemara says, you're right. This is what you should say. Tunai, what I'm carrying, utunach, and what you're carrying, aloch, should still be with you. No, you don't find such an ant below. So what should you do to get rid of this fever? Lishkol kuzel chadato, go take a brand new klicheres. Go take a brand new earthenware utensil. Velezel and nara, go down to the river. Velemle, say to the river, nara, nara, river, river. Osvan kuzel demaya, please lend me a glass of water over here, a cup of water. Lorcha, to go and get better my routine, to make me have my normal routine back and not be sick. Dikali, that has come upon me, this illness has come upon me, and I want to get back to my normal routine. And then he takes this cup of water that he pulled out from the river, and he circles it around his head seven times. Then he tosses the water back into the river behind him. And he should say, now, nara, nara, river, river, take back the water. I give you back the water. Please take back the water that I took from you. Because I'm back to my routine now, and you can have the troubles that I had. I had it one day, and now, Baruch Hashem, it's gone. Again, we don't understand these types of Gemaras, but they're certainly very interesting. With that, we conclude today's shiur.